Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. I have a very special and cool, interesting guest, Chad Hickey, who is the founder and CEO of Givesly. I'm really excited for this interview that I'm going to have with Chad. And part of this also is a little bit of a next step with the Charity Charge podcast. We've use this platform and this medium to really share what I hope have been, certainly for me and I hope for you, the listeners, inspirational stories about amazing nonprofits and the leaders behind them and sharing their impact and how-tos to help other nonprofits in their operations and running their organizations. But part of what I want to also start doing more and more of is sharing cool and new innovative companies that are doing things in the social impact space that may be for-profit companies, but have a true mission, very much so as Charity Charge does, as we're set up as a public benefit corporation. So I think that what Chad is up to with Givesly is a really neat concept and excited to have you on. Thank you so much for being with us, Chad.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Excited to be here.
Could you share with the audience, high level, how you came up with the idea for Givesly and what it's all about?
Yeah, so my background is sales leadership. I've run sales teams across many different companies. And so as a part of that, you know, my team spent a lot of time trying to get in front of people. And so a lot of people in my network started saying, you know what, like, I need more meaning in my life. And so I wanted to kind of merge those two things together. This business problem of trying to get in front of decision makers quickly, but then also providing meaning. So that's what Givesly does. It allows people to volunteer a business meeting in exchange for a donation to a nonprofit.
Before we get specifically into that, one of the things that really caught my attention before you and I engaged was what you ran most recently, Season Without Swag.
Yeah.
I know that maybe you feel that that's directly connected to Givesly. In a sense, I feel like it's not, but I do think that the impact you made with that in an initial go at it this last holiday period was really impactful. Could you talk about that and the dollars or the amount of impact you were able to make?
Yeah. So as a part of being a sales leader, one of the things I've spent a ton of money on is swag, different gifts for clients trying to get time with them. And so I knew that that was a huge opportunity because there's billions of dollars that is spent every year on swag. And so again, kind of in the same way that the Givesly platform takes a business meeting and then converts that to a way of giving back, we wanted to take that same approach with swag. So we approached a lot of companies and we said, hey, why don't you show your client appreciation this year by actually making a donation to a nonprofit instead of sending another bottle of wine? I think it's something that is needed now more than ever. The odd thing is that we actually started planning Season Without Swag before the pandemic. We did it more for environmental reasons, but it took on this whole other meaning, you know, after the pandemic broke out and then after a lot of the social injustice that we saw in the spring and summer of 2020. And so we were able to redirect $340,000 to nonprofit donations where companies said, hey, you know what, this is the way we're going to show client appreciation rather than sending those gifts that tend to be wasted.
I love it. I think it's so cool just figuring out a way to really, ultimately for those dollars to move, to create value for the companies and recognize, you know, and just come to them with something I think that's pretty crystal clear and sincere and have them divert those resources, those dollars to something different. So I wanted to sort of start there to highlight so the audience can understand that you're well on your way to making a lot of impact, you know, and that's something I know that we're going to get into Givesly in a second, but you could keep just scaling and scaling that where that could be a monster in terms of the, you know, dollar impact that I think companies can make.
You're spot on. I mean, when you think about sales,
because can I interrupt? That was over, maybe you just said it, apologies, but how many companies was that in your inaugural year doing it? You did 344,000 to charity.
Yeah, it was over 40 that participated. So
40. How many?
40. 40. Right. Yeah. Correct. So,
that's,
you know,
400 it was, next year.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for our first year, we were super happy with that sort of result. So, and we're bringing it back in 2021. So to your point, we're looking to double that impact for nonprofits.
And I think that that's part of what I really like about your platform is the B2B nature. And again, we're going to get more and more into Givesly, but One of the things I've seen, and this was even how Charity Charge started, I mean, our initial product and our first product was a consumer credit card where the cash back on consumer purchases went to the charity of choice. And while I'm still super proud and of that product and a fan of that product, and I created that product because I wanted that product. I mean, there's always, I think for anything to be successful, the founder has to be passionate about clearly the product or the service that they're bringing to market. The challenge with that is when you create B2C type products, and especially what I've seen in the social impact space, a lot of companies are trying to figure out ways to create some sort of online giving platform or any sort of product. If it's consumer oriented, usually the amount that actually goes to charity is so small because that's just sort of the challenge with consumer related products, which if that gives you any insight, I'd love for you to sort of that question or that thought, you to elaborate a B2C and then talk about your model of B2B with Givesly, which I think is super cool. And you're going to start to see a lot of dollars flowing back to charity through your platform.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about kind of where we fit into trying to redirect dollars to nonprofits, when it comes to like B2B business connections, in a lot of cases, 100% of B2B connections that are driving some sort of revenue for a company, nothing really goes to charity. You know what I mean? Like if you look at the traditional companies that are out there, for our company, everything we touch, every product we produce, put out there to create some sort of efficient way for people to make a business connection has a charity element to it. What I like to say is we're like the Bombas socks of B2B business connections. You know, people go to Bombas because they need a pair of socks and they feel good because there's one that's also donated. It's the same thing with Givesly. You make a connection, we make a donation. So everything that we do has that model. It ranges as far as the percentage that goes to the nonprofit, depending on what product line you're working with us. But if you go to the platform and you're doing that in an automated technological way of connecting with someone, it can be up to 100% of the transaction goes to the nonprofit because people add our platform fees on to that transaction amount. So it's not being reduced from the donation. And so as a company, you know, we want to eventually be at 70% of the revenue that flows through any sort of pipes of our products actually go back out into nonprofits so that they just collect a check at the end of the month based off of people's charitable giving.
I appreciate that. I want to break that down, but I do love to give shout outs. And one of them is to Dave Heath, who's the founder of Bombas. He's a friend of mine. It's been a little while. I need to reconnect with him for sure. But he was initially a mentor through essentially a startup competition we participated in back all the way back to South by Southwest 2015. And that was when, you know, Bombas was still a pretty dang small company and it was super cool. Just from there on, you know, I visited them a couple times in New York at their office and just a really, really great guy. So shout out to Bombas. So it's awesome that you're using that as the example, right? You know, yeah. It says a lot about what they've been able to do, even though this is about Givesly, but that's cool. It takes me back there. I think with your model, I mean, can you talk a little bit in more particulars, you know, use case? I know I signed up for my account, but can you talk through it just in a very practical way? If someone's starting to get intrigued by this, how they would engage with it. And I know that, you know, it's when we were initially talking the other week, I sort of identified that you've got what I would consider four stakeholders in it, three to four, depending on how you want to look at it. But can you talk about it from the individual's perspective and then from the corporate perspective, if they were to sort of encourage or roll this out to their employees?
Yeah. So for people to sign up to the platform and have a profile, it's completely free. That goes for individual, company, or nonprofit. Everything about our products, nonprofits never pay anything. I don't believe that nonprofits should have to pay for anything. I feel like they do enough. I feel like there's a lot of scrutiny onto where their dollars goes in general. So Givesly wants to be able to provide funding to them through technology that fundraises for them that literally they don't have to do any heavy lifting. But when you talk about the people who are interacting on the platform to drive those donations, there is typically a business influencer that has a profile that probably gets 50 to 100 email meeting requests from outside partners on any given day saying, hey, I want to talk to you about whatever service that person's trying to offer. And so this allows them to go in, volunteer one meeting a week, one meeting a month, one meeting a quarter, whatever they choose, and just take their normal business behavior. They're probably going to have that, you know, business development conversation anyway, but they can book that meeting through Givesly and then know that during that 15 to 30 minutes, they're supporting a nonprofit that they care about. Now, the person who makes the donation is the person that is pursuing the time of that business influencer. So the business influencer, literally their contribution is just their meeting time. From the person who's wanting to meet, let's say I was wanting to meet with you and I wasn't able to get in touch with you in the traditional ways through email or phone. I don't even know if people call anymore, but you know what I mean. I could go see your profile and say, you know what, for a $100 donation to the American Cancer Society, I can book Stephen's time, go book your time, and then you have the opportunity to accept or decline that request. So it's not a free-for-all. You know, we see about 70% of the meetings get accepted, but there is still that quality control of the person who is volunteering their time to accept or decline.
Got it. And then it's easy enough too, though, if someone were to reach out to me directly, I could just send them my link and encourage them to book it.
Correct. I do it all the time.
So I'm sort of pre-qualifying them, but...
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know this as a founder, I'm getting the same way now that our business is really starting to gain a lot of momentum. You know, my calendar is crazy, you know, and so I volunteer a 15-minute meeting every Monday through the platform. And so there are a lot of times where, you know, I'm happy to meet if I can, but there are times where I'm like, my calendar is completely booked, but I do set aside this time to give back and to support these three nonprofits. If you want to book me this way, then I have this time blocked. And you do get a lot of insight into the people who are requesting that time and if they're really serious about having that conversation with you.
Yes. And that's what I actually really think is super valuable about this is the qualification piece. So, I mean, for people that are listening to this that have a cause in mind, or maybe they're on a board member at a nonprofit, or they want to pick their school or their children's school as the recipient, whatever it may be. This is just a great way when people request time that is opposed to potentially even saying no, right? Or wondering about it. You can send them the link. And if they choose to book time, it's really qualifying that they're valuing it. So, and you can pick, is it true that the the person that has inventory of time to be available to book can price it at whatever dollar amount they wish?
Yeah, there's a certain cap on that. So it doesn't, you know, go crazy at the moment. But there are ranges of what they can set for a 15-minute to 30-minute meeting.
Excellent. Excellent. And I think it's a phenomenal concept and a way to do it. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think about, we were, again, before this interview, we were even chatting about, you know, what life was like prior to COVID. And I was thinking about meetings and all this stuff. And I just think of the number of meetings I've taken, which I try to take, you know, especially early on when we weren't that busy, I felt like I had this, when now I would look at it differently, like being a little bit more mature, but I felt like I had this wide open inventory of time available and I would give it out very freely. Now I have very little less, but if I know that this can go back to support a cause, that's great. You know, and different people price themselves differently, but I think for founders of certainly product-based businesses, not service-based businesses, where they value their time versus an attorney or, you know, some other profession of that sort, a professional services, this is a great way to put a price on your time, but also know that it's just going back to a cause. In other words, I wouldn't charge someone, and I don't want to be in that business of charging people for my time in terms of income flowing into my pocket. But I would be very open for that, to help that person out, take that meeting and know that it's going back to a cause that I'm fine with. This is very different mindset perception. And I'm curious how that will resonate with other people or what you're hearing. But for me, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. To your point, the person giving their time for the meeting, they never see a dime, right? So no one's really paying for a meeting when it comes to the person who is accepting the meeting. They don't see any sort of money. And it really takes, you know, the charity dinner model, and it makes it more frequent. Like, we've all been to those annual charity dinners where some sort of business influencer is auctioned off for thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, and they go have a lunch with someone. Warren Buffett has done that, right? And it's been publicized. This is saying, why does that only have to be once a year? And not only can Warren Buffett isn't the only person that can make this sort of impact. Everyone can make this sort of impact. If you get a business or if you get a meeting request, you can make impact on Givesley, right? You may not be $5 million like Warren Buffett. Maybe you're $50, but you can still provide some sort of, you know, impact back to nonprofits that you care about just by thinking differently about how you accept one meeting a week.
That is awesome. I'm going to just take that in. You know, as you know, like working in the marketing world, figuring out a way to get the message succinctly across and clear and using the example, but that's the best. I mean, you see all these, you know, I certainly go to a lot of nonprofit fundraisers, galas, events like that. A lot of times they're auctioning off some special dinner or like go play golf with Peyton Manning or something like that. And this is bringing that down really to the quote, you know, average person right away. So, which is everything that we talked about before, but just what a great example.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love that. So what, I know that, you know, I sort of want to shift gears a little bit to talk like a little bit behind the scenes, just like kind of relating to other social impact founders or even individuals running nonprofits. So I know that I didn't necessarily send over a full list of questions for you. So feel free to take your time and sort of just reflect. But I'm curious for you, I mean, what has COVID meant to Givesley and to you personally as you've been trying to just navigate and be successful through it? Have there been any like aha moments or learnings or any particular pivots or things that you've done differently or you think you're doing differently because of COVID, either with the platform, like innovations in sort of the product itself, or pure just business operations of team building, things of that sort?
Yeah. You know, our company started as an experiences company. And when the pandemic broke out, I mean, when you think about traditional volunteerism, it is being out in community, connecting with people, making an impact to people in the community. When March hit, you know, and the pandemic, it was obvious that something really was not okay. I was actually at a conference the first week in March in San Francisco, and I called my other co-founder and I said, listen, we need to be prepared to stop all of our experiences for at least Q2. I think this is going to get, you know, much worse than we anticipated. And so out of respect, you know, for our clients, it just did not feel right to be reaching out to people in March and April to be like, hey, you want to do an event? You know, people were like, I don't even know if I'm going to survive. You know what right. I mean? Like, what's going on? At that point, we really did not know much about the disease. In some weird serendipitous moment, though, we had started building the platform in July of 2019, and was going to rebrand the company before we were called Lucky Forks. We didn't have the Givesley name, but we wanted to take on the brand of the platform. And it was always planned to launch April 6th. And so we wanted it to be this virtual turnkey, you know, opportunity for people to volunteer in a new way. And so it was this weird thing that kind of happened that the pandemic made it so relevant that it actually worked in our favor. Now, I think after George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and some of, you know, all the social injustice that really came to light in the spring, companies came back to experiences. We actually ended up doing more experiences in 2020 than what we had planned pre-pandemic, because I think those moments for everyone said, we have to do something. And so many people reached out to us and said, I get it. Our company has to do something to change society and to impact society. I get what you guys have been evangelizing now for a year and a half. And so, you know, I think that of the learning was more, you know, a validation to what we had been evangelizing out of really terrible things that happened. I wish that we didn't have to be validated that way. But it was, I think, what drove people to really kind of say, okay, I get it. we have to do something about everything that's going on. And so, you know, I think for us, what we talk about as a business is, and I think we're still navigating, to be completely candid, is as our company grows, you know, as we're bringing on some more people, how do you continue to build a culture, you know, like a corporate virtual remote culture, because that's not going anywhere. You know, I don't think that people are going back to like having 6 in-person meetings, you know, even when the pandemic is over. And so how do you, in a remote work environment, create a culture of giving where people feel connected when they're not connected in a location? And so those are things that we're still talking through, to be completely candid.
I mean, look, I love the response because it is what you just said there, very candid. It's authentic and real. And it's something I think about a lot. I mean, how do you create culture in this new world? And I'm talking about it internally for, you know, employees and your other stakeholders. And I think from there it exudes to, you know, your client base or the people you're serving. So really appreciate you sharing that insight. Tell me too, as we round this out, I mean, we work at Charity Charge with a lot of nonprofits. And so we talked about the benefit from the person that maybe wants to use this, you know, as a fundraiser for their time. And there's a benefit, obviously, from the company's perspective, getting their employees onboarded on this. How do you engage with nonprofits? And, you know, we're obviously going to let our organizations at Charity Charge know about this. Sort of what can you say to them or kind of explain to them about just the platform or next steps for them potentially signing up and getting involved?
Yeah, I think signing up and being on the platform is completely free. So if you're interested, you know, in joining the platform, you can email nonprofits@givesly.com and we'll get you onboarded. It's super, super simple. Takes probably 10 minutes max once Stripe approves everything. And so from that perspective, for nonprofits, you know, I think our belief is that nonprofits do enough. And as I said earlier, and we want to be a new revenue stream for them in a way that takes the $16 billion industry that businesses spend on sales tools, event sponsorships, taking people out to dinner, all these things that aren't even possible right now, if you really think about it, and takes just a fraction of that money and gets people to think about how that can go to a nonprofit. Because, you know, as someone who's, you know, been most of my career on the corporate side, leading sales teams and not working with nonprofits at the level that I have in the last 2 years, you know, this challenge of walking the balance of hiring people, but then also being scrutinized about how much money goes toward your mission, kind of that balance. We want to be something that alleviates that pressure and allows these nonprofits to be able to go out and get the resources, whether that be humans, technology, whatever, in a way that comes from some of the funding that we're bringing to them just by being a member of the Givesly community. And so I think, you know, for anyone out there that is like that, you know, that's really our goal to help.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. And I'm going to start really encouraging our organizations to start using this. I think it's a really cool platform, and I wish you a ton of success with everything that you're doing with it, including the season without swag. So
yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Just wonderful. And, you know, again, for anyone listening along, I know that you mentioned the email address for nonprofits, but if people want to learn more, it's just simply givesly.com, G-I-V-S-L-E-Y.
No E. People always do that.
Tell everyone your website, excuse me.
Yeah. No, it's givesly.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Apologies on butchering it there. That's okay. But really appreciate the friendship that we're developing and having you on this episode to share what Givesly's up to, Chad. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.